Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Monday, 21st of Sivan, 20th of June, Rabbi Eli Hirsch, Shlita, The Great Chilozin Controversy. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Kirsch, Le'nishmas Rabbi Shah Nochem ben Avraham Gostrup, Zichron Livracha, whose Yad site is this coming Shabbos.
Good morning. This week's Sedra, right at the end of this week's Sedra, it says in the Torah, the Parsha, that we say three times a day at the end of Kriyat Shema. In this week's Sedra, it says what we say three times a day at the end of Kriyat Shema with the Parsha of Vayomer, which talks about tzitzis. And one pasuk in particular says, Mosnu al tzitzis hakonof pasil techeles, which is the makor for the mitzvah of techeles, to dye some of the chutin of your tzitzis, a dye called techeles. And I'd like to talk, I thought it was appropriate to talk about this topic this week. Specifically, the Gemara says that the way we get Cheles is from a creature called the Chilozin. And I'd like to talk about specifically the identity, or potential identity, of this creature called the Chilozin. So it's wrong you're doing that for hundreds of years. The Chilozin have not had access to this creature. We don't know what it is, or at least we didn't know what it is for sure, for many, many hundreds of years. Not since the end of the time of the Gemara. And that changed around 150 years ago when a Heilige Yid called the Radzina Rebbe, took it upon himself to investigate and to try and identify if we can discover the identity of this creature, Bizman Azeh. He went into the Inyan, he was the pioneer in the Sugya. He went into the Inyan, he spoke to scientists, he spoke to professors, he looked in the sources in Midrashim and Chazal. And his maskana was that a creature called, which we call the cuttlefish, that was the makor of the Cheles, and that was the identity of the cuttlefish. And that's what he held of, although the other Gedolim of the time didn't agree. And nowadays, it's kumat, all of Klal Yisrael hold that the cuttlefish is definitively not the Chilozin, except for the Radzina Hasidim, and I think the rest of the Hasidim. Most of Klal Yisrael do not consider the cuttlefish to be a viable candidate for the Chilozin. Approximately 35 years ago, a new candidate came up for discussion, which is called in science the Hexaplex trunculus, also known as the Murex trunculus. It is a sea snail which lives in the Mediterranean, and scientists were successful in extracting some substance from its body which turned blue under certain chemical processes. And they believe, this group who are promoting the Murex as the candidate for the Chilozin, they believe strongly that they have Makoros, and they have evidence, and they have archaeological proof, and they have raya's that the Murex trunculus is the Chilozin. Now, we have to investigate that this creature, the Murex trunculus, was mentioned by ancient historical writers, it's mentioned by Aristotle, it's even mentioned in Euthyphron, I believe. And the makor of it, where the chemical is extracted not from the body of the snail itself, but from a gland, the hypobranchial gland. And this creature is aggressively promoted by groups such as Ptil Cheles and others as being the candidate for Chilozin. Now, the question I'm going to discuss is, what are their claims? On what grounds do they have to assume this is the correct creature? Just because it's creates blue dye and live in the sea, that's not necessarily conclusive. I'm sure there are many creatures which can extract some sort of compound which will turn you blue. So what are their raya's? So the very first point to make, for most people who look into the inner, it's the biggest chiddush for everyone, and that is as follows. There's a time in the Gemara, there's a species in the Gemara called the tachash, which was used only in the time of the Mishkan, which its skins was used to cover the Mishkan, and the word tachash translated sometimes in English as unicorn, and it refers specifically to a unique species called the unicorn, or it's called the tachash. There's no other creature like it in the world. There never was and never will be. There's no family of tachashim. There's one tachash and that's all there is. So many people assume when it comes to about chilozin, it's the same idea. Chilozin is a specific creature called the chilozin, which is unique and has only one member of this species. And this mythical creature is what Chazal used to dye tzitzis. Now that is the biggest chiddush, because it turns out that there's many makoros from the Gemara, in Midrashim, in Rishonim, in Achronim, that the word chilozin doesn't mean chilozin, just some sort of mysterious creature. Chilozin is a For a start, it might not even be a Lashon HaKodesh word. Possibly it's an Aramaic word, just like we have words like Apikoros. An adopted word from other languages. Chilazon itself might not be an inherited Lashon HaKodesh word. And the taitch of the word chilazon is a snail. And I'll bring you some of the raya's. The first raya is a medrash. On the words, Salmoisechem, Reibolam Yalechem, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that their clothes didn't get old, didn't get worn, they grew with them. So the Medrash says, just like the nartik, or the two different neschois, the nartik, the pocket, or the base, like the house of chilazon, grows with its host. So the clothes of Klal Yisrael grew with them as they grew up from childhood to adulthood, just like the shell of the chilazon grows as it grows with it, which aptly describes a snail. That's what happens. A snail, as it grows bigger, its shell expands to fit it. Another book is one of the Rishonim. There's a Rishon called Rav Tanchum Yerushalmi, the Talmud of the Rambam. He wrote a glossary of the works of the Rambam. And when the Rambam wrote the word chilazon, Rav Tanchum Yerushalmi wrote under the entry chilazon, he says, this translates to the Arabic word al-chalazon, which means snail. In fact, apparently in Syriac, I think that's the word, in modern-day Aramaic, the word chalazon is still used to refer to a snail. There's a Achron who wrote a pirush on the Sefer Aruch, Ivra Taich on the Sefer Aruch, called the Moisef Aruch, and he translates the word chalazon into Yiddish as shnek, which apparently means snail.
Shnek.
There's another Sefer called the Tfuras Aretz, also Achron lived about 200 years ago, also translates it the same way. Rav Shamshon Fala Hirsch translates it as the purpur shnek, which specifically refers to the murex, which is also known as the purpura. The Chavis Yoy also identifies it as that creature, the Yaivutz. A sefer called Shilte HaGeboyim, which is an achor, which is not the Shilte HaGeboyim, the Rift, a different sefer, also identifies it as the chilazon. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, where there's a Mishnah in Kehilim which talks about the word chilazon, it's talking about a shape, not a creature, but the shape of a chilazon. The Rambam says that the shape is the shape of, is in Arabic again, Safada, which is the Arabic for seashells, apparently. So, again, another raya that the word chilazon is not just the word relating to a specific species. It means a category. It's a category of snails, shelled creatures.
Sorry, these people are holding that it's a land creature, a snail,
no,
or a sea creature.
Well, they are sea snails and they are land snails. They're the same form, yeah. Some of them are aquatic and some of them are not. Rashi in Avodah Zarah translates the word chilazon as limits, belaz. Apparently, in Old French, the word limits refers to snail. And finally, the Pirush Rosh HaTorah also translates the word chilazon as snail. So that really is the biggest chiddush of people, the biggest shock for most people when they start the sugya, is that they think chilazon refers to some sort of mythical creature, some specific creature. And it turns out the word chilazon actually refers to a generic species of snail, so which already narrows down. And some of these famous actually point to the murex in particular, which is even more of a chiddush. That means that already hundreds of years ago,
it's a sea snail.
It was already identified positively by various achronim as being the candor for the chilazon. And there's one more marmokim. It's a Rav Yo. The Rav Yo is a rishon, and he has a Yerushalmi which we do no longer have. It's yadua that many rishonim had access to Yerushalmi which have been lost since. And this Yerushalmi says as follows. The Yerushalmi goes on the Mishnah in Brachos, I think, that you. Zman Kriya Shema is when you can be mechalik between Tcheles and Karsi. And the Rav Yoz Yerushalmi says that what is Tcheles? Porphyrion. Porphyrion is a word which is what the Greeks call, the purpura, called the murex trunculus. So according to Rav Yoz Girsa, it's not conclusive, but according to Rav Yoz Girsa and Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi was translating Tcheles into the Greek porphyrion, which refers to the murex.
So if somebody genuinely believes that this is the chalas, why do we not have a theory to work to use it?
Because it's not conclusive, right?
Well, I'm about to bring the questions on this. I'm building up the case why it should be, why this might be the
murex. Yeah.
I'm going to bring a list of kashas.
Explain, what do you call it, the murex?
It's known in, it was previously known scientifically as the murex trunculus. That's the name of the scientific name.
What is it, a snake?
It's a sea snail.
Sea snail.
So that's the first thing, what the identity of the chilazon is, what the word chilazon actually means. Now, there are sort of circumstantial proofs that the murex is the chilazon. the pasuk in Nach, which refers to an area between Sulmudatzur and Haifa, two areas in Eretz Yisrael on the coast, which were prime areas to find this creature. Between Sulmudatzur and Haifa, two locations which are known nowadays, and in archaeological digs, we find mountains of murex shells, of broken murex shells, where obviously they were used in production in this very area, which in Nach we refer to as being an area to discover the chilazon. Another raya which is brought, Tosfos in Shabbos describes that the blood of a murex, it's not the blood that we extract the dye from isn't part of the blood system. It's its own unique mifkad pocket, Tosfos says. It's collected in its own sack, so to speak. Which describes where we extract the blood, the dye from murex, which is found in the hypobranchial gland, not part of the lifeblood of the system, of the snail. Another raya which is brought is that there's a chemical compound called kla'ilon, which the Gemara talks about. It says that kla'ilon, which is a plant-based dye, which is known nowadays as indigo, is identical or nearly identical, close enough that you can't be distinguished between that and between the real tcheles. And indigo is chemically extremely similar, apparently, say one or two molecules different to chilozoin blood. So again, the appearance is the same. So another raya is that since kla'ilon is the color which is described as being the color of the tcheles, and we know what kla'ilon is, it's called indigo, and we know what color it is, and the tcheles we have is indistinguishable from indigo, it's another raya, potentially, that the murex is the tcheles. Finally, two more eyes. Second last, right? We know that the murex was used for dyeing in the time of Chazal. There was an archaeological dig in a place called Wadi Mubarat, where they found a beged dyed, which was chemically tested, and it was found to have been dyed with this extract from the murex. And the reason why this is important is because we know that the murex, that tcheles wasn't only used for tzitzis. We know that it was used for begodim as well. It was extremely expensive and used for royalty and for special occasions. But the fact that we know this substance was used in antiquity is another point to add to consider if this is the tcheles or not. One final point I meant. There's more raya. There's not enough time to go for everything. One more raya is that there is a gezeira that we are not allowed to wear a beged of pishdon, because some crooks used to dye their chutzpah with kla'ilon, with fake tcheles, and therefore you might come to wear a beged of pishdon, a beged of linen, with chutzpah of wool, which you think are tcheles, which are allowed to be worn on the beged of pishdon, but they aren't really dyed with tcheles, they're dyed with indigo instead. So because of that, Chazal said you should not wear begodim of pishdon at all. And the Gemara mentions that the reason why you shouldn't is because people might dye it with kla'ilon instead. Now, remember, we've established that there was a creature called the murex trunculus, which existed in the time of Chazal, which was used to dye exactly the same color. It was an aquatic creature, and yet Chazal don't mention this creature at all. It's a bit of an omission to say there's something called tcheles, there's something called kla'ilon, and people might dye with kla'ilon, and they don't mention the fact that there's another creature they might use, called the murex. So to assume the murex and the real chilazon are two separate creatures is a bit odd, because why would Chazal not mention this creature at all? There is no mention anywhere else in Torah of any other creature besides the chilazon, which has these properties. And if there is a creature which is not the chilazon, then why didn't Chazal mention it? Now that I've made the case, I'm trying to bring it down with a list of kashas. The important thing to remember is that there is no mesuyah for this creature. So even though the people who believe in it very strongly, they themselves will admit that they cannot say with 100% confidence this is the chilazon, and I'll prove it to you. If they have a beged of pishdon, they will not put tcheles on it, because they can't risk it. They can't risk that. Until now, we're talking about there's nothing to lose. Put tcheles on your tzitzis, and if it's not tcheles, fine, lo yeh el alon, let it be just like the white strings. You lose nothing. But when it comes to the beged of pishdon, the beged of linen, they cannot afford to you can't say it, you'll lose nothing if I'm wrong, because it's a deraisa of kilayim to put tzemeh and pishdon together on the same beged. So they do not believe themselves with 100% certainty. They think all they say is we have an extremely strong case to make that this is the Chilazim, and therefore it is open to attack. But before I bring the kashas, I have to point out the following. All they say is that as long as it might be the Tcheles, there's no reason not to put on. It's a Sofik mitzvah, the very worst. So when it comes to all these kashas, you have to evaluate as follows. Is it a kasha? In which case, it might be a kasha, but there's still a possibility there is the chelos, and therefore it's still worthwhile putting on. Or is it a tiyufta? It's a kasha which is in of tshuva, it cannot be the tcheles, it cannot be the chelos, and there's no way to allow this to be the tcheles, and therefore it's a tiyufta, there's no point wearing it. So as we go along, bear in mind, is this a kasha at all? Is the teretz a good teretz or not? If it's not a good teretz, is it a kasha or is it a tiyufta? If it's a kasha, is there still any possibility that it is a mitzvah in wearing this tzitzis? So the first question is a Gemara which has troubled the Tcheles people for many years. It's originally. The Gemara says as follows, Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says four characteristics of the Chilazon. The first characteristic is as follows. Gufoy doim eliyam. Its body appears like the sea. And we'll stop there. We'll deal with this point to begin with. In what way, asks the anti-Chilazon people, anti-Murex people, does the Murex resemble the sea? The Murex is a sandy brown. The Gemara says that the Murex is doim eliyam. It appears like the sea. The sea, most people ask, what does the sea look like? They'll say, it's blue. And the Murex is not blue. One second. And to compound the question, later on in the Gemara says that the Tcheles is doim eliyam. Now, Tcheles is definitely not sandy brown. So how can they corroborate, how can they shtim this Gemara with the Murex? The Murex is the wrong color. So they say as follows. There's a Ramban in Parashas Bereishis that says that the word yam, the literal translation of the word yam, is seabed. When we refer to yamim as the water in the sea, it's a borrowed expression. In truth, the word yam refers to the seabed, and the Ramban brings a pasuk which says, kamayim liyam lechasim, the waters cover the yam. If the yam is water, what does that mean? It means the yam is a sea floor, and the mine covered the sea floor. So, say the pro-Murex people, that the appearance of the Murex, it blends in, it's actually very difficult to spot on the sea floor. That's how they deal with the Gemara. So the anti-Murex people say, well, that doesn't help, because there's the Gemara Masechas Tzitzis, one of the Masechas Ketanos, which says the Murex is the Doim Elirakia, it appears like the sky. And that is impossible to say that it means that there's a seabed. So the pro-Murex people say, you're right, but the whole Masechet Tzitzis is full of mistakes. The whole Masechet Tzitzis is full of mistakes. A few lines earlier, it diverges from our Gemara. So they say you can't bring a raya from Masechet Tzitzis, it's not reliable as a source for halacha because it's full of the gersois of Masechet Tzitzis are all over the place, and they dismiss this. The next line of the Gemara Menachos is as follows: Briyasa Yidoy Miladag. Its form is comparable to a fish. So once again, the anti-Murex people say: in what way is the form of the Murex comparable to a fish? It's a snail. What way does it look like a fish? So the pro-Murex people say, in defence, it's as follows: for a start, the fact that the Gemara says it is doime to a fish, it's comparable to a fish, it obviously means it is not a fish itself. Because if it was a fish, it would make no sense to say a fish is doima to a fish. It is a fish. What it means is it is not a fish. It's a creature which is not a fish, which is fish-like in appearance. In what way is it fish-like in appearance? So they say as follows. They say that the shell of the Murex, if you hold up at the right angle, it looks basically like a child's drawing of a fish. You know, like a little triangle and an oval. They say that's the appearance, the shape of the Murex. And the truth is, there are three sea snails which are found in the Mediterranean Sea. And of the three, the Murex is the only one which looks that way. The other two look completely different shapes. So they claim that what the Gemara is saying is, how do you identify which specific Murex, which specific snail is the one which is the one which makes the tcheles? It's the one which looks fish-like. If you put all three shells together, all three snails together, you'll find that this chelozin, the chelozin's there, this is the one which appears the most fish-like in appearance.
It says it looks like a fish,
doesn't it? It says...
Because doima just means it
resides in the sea.
So briosoi, loim adag, which Rashi translates as tavnis tsarosa. Tavnis tsarosa means it's sheep.
So not just it lives in the sea like
that. No. The Rashi specifically is talking about sheep. Okay, question number three. The Gemara carries on and says that another simon of the chalazon is this oila echas shiv rishona. It rises from the sea once every 70 years, which doesn't occur with the murex. So the Radvaz already deals with this question, and he says that it only happens in Mizman Chazal. Only Mizman Chazal was such a phenomenon observed. Since then, it doesn't do that. It lives in its natural state. It was a nis, basically. It doesn't happen nowadays. There are other Tarutzim, but that's clear enough of a Teretz. Next question. We just said that the Kla Ilon and Cheles are almost indistinguishable chemically. So ask the anti-murex people, if it's almost indistinguishable chemically, the Gemara gives a chemical test to differentiate between the Kla Ilon, between indigo, and between the Tcheles. How could this test work if they are virtually identically the same on a biological, on a chemical level? So the pro-murex people say it's not exactly the same. Whatever the tiny differences are, they're enough for the test to differentiate between those two substances. That's their teretz. Now, next question. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara talks about when you kill a chalazon to extract its dye. The Gemara asks, why aren't you chayav for netilas hashama, for killing it? And the Gemara says, it's basically Gemara's teretz, and why aren't you chayav midiraisa? The Gemara's answer is because it's basically a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. You don't want it to die. But the Gemara says more than that. Not you don't want it to die, you want it to live. Kol kama d'chay tfei nichle. The longer it stays alive, the better it is for you. Why? Because then the dye remains fresh. As soon as it's dead, the dye starts to deteriorate. So ask the anti-murex people, the dye of the murex does not deteriorate instantly. It takes at least half an hour. So how can the Gemara say that you want it to stay alive? Because the longer it stays alive, the dye is still viable. Even after it dies, it doesn't start deteriorating immediately. So why? How can the Gemara say, tfinichle, you need it to stay alive? That's not true. So the answer is, if I found sounded correctly, I'll give a marshal. Imagine you are boiling a kettle, and you realize that you've run out of coffee, you run out of milk, you run out of sugar. So the kettle's been boiled, it's clicked, and now you're running around the kitchen looking for a mug, looking for coffee, looking for sugar, and you're stressed. Why? Because the kettle is cooling down. Now the truth is, even within a minute, the difference between the kettle cooling down is insignificant. But you want the kettle to keep boiling as long as possible because you don't like the stress of the kettle is cooling down. Or you have soggy cereal, you don't want cereal to get soggy. When it comes to the murex, right, it doesn't deteriorate in a noticeable way instantly. But it is deteriorating somewhat straight away. It's not significant until some time has passed. So you want this dye in essence to remain in the goof of the murex as long as possible. Because as soon as it leaves, the clock starts ticking. I think that's what they mean to say. That's the answer. That's what they want to say tfenichle. You want it to stay alive as long as possible, because you want the dam to remain inside the body of the murex so that it doesn't start deteriorating. It's true, you have plenty of time after it leaves the goof to still use it. But it's still considered like tfenichle. You prefer it to stay inside the goof of the chalazon for as long as possible. Now this is the next question, it's quite a famous question. The various makoros, there's three madroshim and the Zoya. They all say that the chalazon was niknas, it was concealed. So, in which case, if it's concealed, how can anyone come along and say, I found the chalazon nowadays? We don't have any of the Kli HaMikdash, they've been niknas. If you come along and say, I found the Orem, or you found the Manoah, you're going to say, I believe them? It's nignas, it's not accessible. It can't be the Gemara, if it's not Gemara, the Medrash or the Sefri say that the Chalazon has been nignas. How can it be that we have found the Chalazon of Manazeh? It doesn't make sense. So the answer is given, that those Makoros are written in Mizman HaTanoim. The Gemara of the Amiroim talks about people who have Tcheles. So we see that nignas can't be literally nignas, it was no longer there, because we see even after those Sefarim were written, it was still around. So you see clearly that nignas can't be nignas absolutely. There's no way of us discovering the tcheles, because even Bizman, even back then it wasn't nignas properly, because they still had it. It is possible, I have seen a simple answer back, that just because they had the begodim, Bizman of the Gemara, doesn't mean they had the dye. The chalazon was nignas, and they kept some residual stores of tcheles, Until later. But it's a bit of a jump, because it's about hundreds of years. To assume that they still had any amount of tcheles hundreds of years after the chalazon disappeared is a bit of a stretch. Either way, I'll go on him. What would? How can you? How do that? The pro-Murex people interpret the word nikkunas. If it doesn't mean completely gone, like you're saying, because the Gemara talks about it, then what does it mean? So there's a Ramban and there's also a Gemara, which say that there was a decree from the Goyish kings, which the Ramban writes was still Kayam in his days, which was that Tcheles was declared the colour of royalty, and it was illegal for any commoner to have anything made from Tcheles on his body. And they say that this is a gzeir which was made, which is documented, that Tcheles was banned from common use. And Niknas doesn't mean Ruchnistik and Niknas, it means Niknas literally b'metzias, because people were no longer allowed to use the Murex. It fell into disuse. And now, since it's been many, many hundred years since that decree was still valid, we are now able to go out there and try and rediscover it, and that's what we managed to do. Another teretz given by the Shuas Malkoi is that even if you won't learn Nignaz means, Nignaz in Ruchnius, it's possible that Nignaz means until Ikvas of the Mashiach, and it's possible that we're living in Ikvas of the Mashiach, and therefore, the Eivishtav gave us back the Chalazon in advance of Mashiach coming. Okay. Right. Next question.
Which waters do you find across?
In the Mediterranean. Actually, you find in the Mediterranean. Which is where they would have fished it from Eretz Yisrael. They're short in the Mediterranean. The next question is the Rambam. It's quite tricky, this one. The Rambam says, one of the simonim the Rambam gives when he describes the chelozon is that domoy, its blood, is shofar kidyoy, is as black as ink. Now, the extract from the Murex is not black. It is a callous, and it turns a murky yellow, I believe. So, it appears that the Rambam does not understand the Murex, or at least his description of the Murex doesn't match the Murex that we have.
So, cuttlefish.
Sorry.
What about the cuttlefish? Is blue?
I don't actually know. So, how do you deal with this Rambam, who says that the blood of the Murex is shochet kidyoy? The truth is, they struggle. The pro-Murex people struggle with this. The best teretz I've seen given is as follows: there is no makor that the dam of the chelozon is black. I mean, I can't say there's no makori, but other people have. No one has found such a makori, and you've got both the pro-Murex people and the anti-Murex people have both been searching for this makori. Where does the Rambam get it from? We don't know. The anti-Murex people say the Rambam must have had some sort of measure, which we no longer have. The pro-Murex people says, no, I know, I'll tell you where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam occasionally quotes the Greek philosopher Aristotle. He quotes him in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, and Aristotle describes the Murex, like I said. And the way Aristotle describes the Murex is he describes its blood as dark. And that's where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam was quoting Aristotle, that's where he got it from. And that's why he writes.
Strong blue, it always looks dark.
No, but the blood isn't blue. It turns blue. It doesn't start off as being blue.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe, blue.
Yeah.
It's very dark, it looks so black.
It's true, but describing the blood in its natural state. Okay. So the question is obviously that why. Did Aristotle describe it that way? If Aristotle was describing Murex, which he was, and that's where the Rambam got it from, why did he describe his dam as shochet kidyoy? It's not. So, the answer given is apparently that Aristotle was translated from Greek into Arabic, and the translation from Greek to Arabic contained an error, and that's why the Rambam... That's why the Rambam describes it as shochet kidyoy, because he was reading Aristotle in Arabic, and the Arabic was a mistranslation of the Greek.
He wouldn't quote his translation, surely. The Rambam knows better than that.
Not my turn. That's what they say. Quickly, the last point is...
Excuse me, Epstein. Yeah. Lots and lots of kashas. Mm-hmm. But what transpires, what comes out of this is that this fish, this snail, is possibly, if not probably, the right tailor. So why do we not have a chiv to wear it?
We're
not losing anything by putting it on.
I think Rizal and Roth are going to speak on that on Thursday.
Sorry?
I think Rizal and Roth is speaking on that topic on Thursday. Why you shouldn't wear it.
And that's what do you lose by wearing it?
So if you come on Thursday and hear Rizal's shit, you'll probably have some solid reason why not to wear it.
What do you
lose by quickly, the last point to raise. is now, for various reasons, there are many Rishonim who cannot be talking about the Murex. When they bring Simonim, when they bring aspects of the Murex, of the Chilozim, they cannot be describing the Murex, either because they describe its color of its blood differently like the Rambam, if you learn the Rambam, not like the Purim, or they describe the color of the creature as differently to as blue, or they, the Torah says it's Mefar Chesses when it comes out of the water, which is not true, or they say that the blood is actual lifeblood, not this dominant mythical pocket, or they say that it has to be a fast-moving creature. Or they say, one Rishon says, it's a cross between a plant and a fish. So you have many Rishonim for various reasons, different reasons, who cannot say that the Murex is the Chilozim, because they describe various aspects of this creature which doesn't match with the Murex. So the question is asked, how can you say this is the Chilozim if, according to many, many Rishonim, it's not? Which is quite a strong question. The answer is as follows, or the answer given is as follows. When it comes to Tarat of the Sasra, let's say like the Zman of Maariv, Kaindav and Mincha and Maariv, both Mincha and Maariv between Plag and Shkia. You can't, because according to one Shitta, you're definitely not Yotze, because the Zman of Mincha, between Mincha and Maariv, is either after Plag or after Shkia. You can't have both Shittas with this Tarat of the Sasra, because it's the same Shaila. When you could have Mincha, when you could have Maariv, it's the same Shaila. The Shaila is when is the Zman Mincha finished and the Zman Maariv start. When it comes to different Shaila, let's say like making a cup of tea on Shabbos, you've got Shailas like Tzvi Baruchin, or Kalei Bishel. So there, those questions are independent. Even if the feed of the same shitter, I'm not able to make this cup of coffee the way I'm making it. But each aspect of the shayla is a different aspect which I can clear on its own. So this is what the primary rituals say. They say as follows. It's true, there are many Rishonim who do not hold of this as being, according to them, this cannot be the Murex. But the Rishonim don't agree themselves. So if I say that the Rambam is right when it comes to this, and the Tosis Rim is right when it comes to this, and Rashi is right when it comes to this, seeing as the Rishonim themselves don't agree on many aspects of the Chilozim, then I can say, I'm considering, when it comes to this Shaila, this aspect of the Chilozim, let's say the color is dumb, I'm going with this Rishon. When it comes to this aspect of the Chilozim, I'm going with this Rishon, it's not Tarat of the Sasra. You can't say I've got all the Rishonim against me, because many Rishonim agree with me on this point, and many Rishonim agree with me on this point. And they believe that with the archaeological evidence, they have the right to determine which Rishonim are correct when it comes to describing various aspects of the Chilozim. There's plenty more to say, I'm sure you'll hear more on Thursday. I'll just say quickly, that Shiove Tishri V'Yatarit, and we should be Zoicha, see the Kohenim wearing the Tcheles and the big Dekuna, the basically the Shlishi, Meir V'Yamein V'Yamein.